There was an article this week in USA Today that mentioned religious organizations in America and their growth. And the year that was cited was 2006. And it was interesting, the headline noted and the lead paragraph noted that the Jehovah's Witnesses in 2006 were the fastest growing religious organization in America. They're not the largest by any means. They're in the top 25, but nowhere near the top. But in 2006, they grew at a rate of 2.25%. That's faster than the rate of growth for Mormons, faster than the rate of growth of Roman Catholics, faster than the rate of growth of Southern Baptists. So while the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is by no means the largest religious organization in America or around the world, it still continues to be very successful in its ministry of sharing what they call the truth of the one true organization that has restored Christianity to its historic roots, and that is the Watchtower and Bible, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. We started last week looking at the Jehovah's Witnesses, and we said that every Christian should reject the Watchtower's claims to be the only true church because of its numerous heretical views. Last week we looked at three of those heretical views. First of all, having to do with the Trinity, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society clearly denies the biblical teaching that there's one true and living God who exists as three distinct, co-equal, co-eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society very clearly and emphatically says the Trinity doctrine is a doctrine of the devil and should be rejected. Secondly, we looked at the teaching on the deity of Christ. And as you look through the New World Translation as it goes around, you'll see that John chapter 1, verse 1 has been altered to say that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, or Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was a God, small G-O-D. And that throughout the New World Translation, Colossians 1, John 8, and other places, the clear teachings in Scripture on the deity of Christ have been stripped out or altered in some way. So the Watchtower denies the deity of Christ. And then third, we said, the Watchtower denies the personhood and the deity of the Holy Spirit. The Watchtower says that the Holy Spirit is not a person and most certainly is not deity, but rather the Holy Spirit is the impersonal force that God uses to accomplish His will on the earth. So that's how we began our study last week, looking at the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society, that those views are three views that the Watchtower denies that are consistent with biblical Christianity. Today we're going to look at three more false views of the Watchtower and Bible and Tract Society, and those have to do with the work of Christ. And we're going to see that the Watchtower denies the full atonement of Christ on the cross, that the Watchtower denies the bodily resurrection of Christ, and that the Watchtower denies Christ's bodily and physical return one day. And then next week we'll wrap up our study on the Jehovah's Witnesses by looking at the Watchtower's false views on life beyond the grave, resurrection and judgment, and the biblical teachings on heaven and hell. So let's look first of all at what the Watchtower teaches about the atonement of Christ or Christ's work on the cross. Let me share with you a few things that are written in Jehovah's Witness teaching materials, and then we'll look at some passages of Scripture that show the biblical truth about Christ's atonement. In a Watchtower publication called Let God Be True, it says that Jesus had to earn his immortality. Immortality was not something that Jesus always had. Of course, they deny that Jesus is eternal. They teach that Jesus was the first creation of Jehovah God, created as Michael the archangel, then recreated as Jesus the man, and then recreated as Jesus the exalted Michael the archangel once again. And so when Jesus became man, was recreated by Jehovah God as man, he had to earn his immortality. And Let God Be True says this, quote, Christ Jesus was first to receive immortality as a reward for his faithful course on earth. In other words, Jesus became immortal through his own good works. He was not and is not the uncreated creator. He was not and is not the eternal second person of the divine Trinity. And then, in a book called Aid to Bible Understanding, the Watchtower says this, quote, finishing his earthly course, free from flaw in any sense of the word, Jesus was acknowledged by God as justified. We'll come back to that word justified in just a minute. He was thus the only man who, through test, stood firmly and positively just or righteous before God on his own merit. Jesus Christ, after his faithful course until death, was made alive in the Spirit, given immortality and incorruption. And so Jesus had to earn his justification, or he had to earn being declared righteous before God. Now, Scripture teaches a totally different concept of justification. Jesus did not ever have to become righteous in declaration. He never had to become in a right standing before Jehovah God, because Jesus is the uncreated creator. He always was in perfect fellowship, in a perfect relationship with God the Father as the eternal Son of God. So the concept of justification or being declared righteous with God is not anything, as the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, that Jesus had to do. Justification is the gift of God to mankind by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses also teach that Jesus was not incarnated, that is, he was not born of a virgin by means of the Holy Spirit. Rather, Jehovah God took the life force of Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel ceased to exist for a time, and his life force was placed into the womb of the Virgin Mary. And so the Watchtower will tell you very specifically and very emphatically, the birth of Christ was in no way an incarnation. It was in no way God becoming flesh. Rather, Michael the Archangel's life force was transferred into the womb of Mary, and Jesus became a man, and nothing more than a man. The Watchtower teaches that Jesus was in no way divine, and that when he died, he did not die on a cross. Rather, he died on a Roman torture stake. And the purpose of his death was to exonerate the name of Jehovah and to give mankind an opportunity to earn a place on paradise earth. Christ's death was a, quote, ransom sacrifice to buy back what Adam lost, and that is the right to a perfect life on earth. So to summarize all of what the Watchtower teaches about Christ's atonement, first of all, Jesus was not God in human flesh. He was human. Secondly, he had to earn his immortality by living a righteous life. Third, his death on the cross was not to pay our sin debt. Rather, his death on the cross was to exonerate the name of Jehovah and to buy back from Jehovah God the right or the opportunity for mankind to live on paradise earth. And then fourth, the death of Christ on the cross was not really a death on the cross. It was a death on a Roman torture stake. It's interesting, early Watchtower teaching had no problem teaching that Jesus died on the cross. But later on, they changed their writings to say he didn't die on a cross, he died on a torture stake. And the reason for that seems to be that the watchtower identifies the cross as being a Roman pagan symbol, and God, Jehovah God, would not allow his son to be exposed to that. So rather, Christ was placed on a single pole or a torture stake with his hands nailed above his head and his feet nailed below him. And that's how he died, to exonerate the name of Jehovah. Now, let's look at that from a biblical point of view. We can see that it's wrong in many respects. First of all, the watchtower claim that Jesus was human only is clearly refuted in Scripture. The Bible tells us, John 1:1, for example, in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Watchtower retranslation of John 1:1 to say Jesus was a God, small God, has no justification among any Bible scholars. It's an addition that's not consistent with the rest of the way the Greek translation is taken to mean. Also, when you get to Colossians chapter 1, you get to John chapter 8 and John chapter 10 and other places, the Watchtower translation strips out the clear references to the deity of Christ. So Watchtower thinking denies the deity of Christ, yet the Bible fully establishes and affirms that Jesus is the eternal Son of God, the uncreated creator of all things, that he was born of a virgin by means of the Holy Spirit, and that it was not the life force of Michael the archangel placed in the womb of Mary, but rather an incarnation, the actual life of the second person of the Trinity who came into the womb of Mary. And that, secondly, Christ lived a perfect and sinless life, not to earn his own justification, but to purchase for us our justification. Christ lived a perfect and sinless life. He was fully God and fully man in his earthly life. And he went to the cross offering up that perfect and sinless life so that, as Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Christ on the cross bore the full weight of our sin, and in so doing could satisfy the justice of God in pouring out his wrath upon his only Son, and in so doing, he could also extend to us his grace and his mercy, so that justification, or a declaration of being in right standing with God, was purchased through the sinless life and the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Justification is God's gift to us, not something that Christ earned for himself. And then third, Christ's death was in fact on a cross, not on a torture stake. The Scripture makes numerous references to Christ having died on a cross and not on a torture stake. The Jehovah's Witnesses make a great deal out of the torture stake because they want to reject what they consider to be the pagan symbolism of the cross. But in fact, Christ died on the cross. And that in dying on the cross, he fully satisfied the wrath and the judgment of God upon mankind's sin, and he conquered sin and conquered death by being our perfect and innocent substitution. So the Watchtower teaching on the atonement of Christ, that Christ's death was to buy back what Adam lost, the right of mankind to live on paradise earth, is not a biblical view. Yeah, John 3:16 and John 14:6, Jehovah's Witnesses would not deny that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or that God loved us so much he sent his Son for us. But what they would say is that what Jesus accomplished was the opportunity for us, by a combination of faith and works, to earn our way into paradise earth, or a place on earth in the future. They would not deny that Jesus died or was crucified, but because of this aversion they have to this pagan symbol of the Roman cross, they insist that he died on a stake rather than on a cross. So, yeah, they would run into some difficulty with well-established biblical and non-biblical sources that make it clear that Romans crucified by means of a cross. The Watchtower Bible and Tract Society is a fairly closed society. In other words, you are encouraged as a member to fellowship with other Jehovah's Witnesses through your local Kingdom Hall and to do Bible studies. And there are five different meetings a week in the local Kingdom Hall. But you are strongly discouraged from doing your own exploration outside of what the Watchtower gives you. And so it's an effort really to keep you confined to the fellowship of the Watchtower. The New World Translation had six translators, and after the death of Charles Taze Russell, when Judge Rutherford came along and others, they began the process of doing everything anonymously. And so as you look through Awake and Watchtower magazine and other publications, there will be no bylines on them. And their argument was that this was in humility to God, that it's not about us, it's about Jehovah, which sounds good on the surface, but the six translators who translated the New World Translation, their names were never released. However, people who were in high positions in the Watchtower who left identified these six people. One of them was Fred Franz, who served for a time as leader of the Watchtower. And of those six translators, Fred Franz was the only one who had any sort of working knowledge of Hebrew or Greek, but he was not a Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic scholar. And so their claims, and you can read them in the introduction of the New World Translation, says they went back to the original Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. But in fact, Fred Franz was the only one who even had a layman's understanding of those languages. So it's a classic example of cultism where you start with what you want to believe and you make the Bible fit what you want to believe, rather than the other way around, where we need to start with the Scriptures and say, what does the Bible teach? I need to conform my thinking. I need to conform my doctrines to that. Okay? Let's just look at one or two verses of Scripture on the atonement of Christ, and then we will move on. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and let's read verses 1 through 4. Thank you very much. Here Paul summarizes for us the finished work of Christ on the cross, that he died according to the Scriptures for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. And so the finished work of Christ is summarized here by Paul, and that is that Christ's death was a substitutionary and sufficient atonement for us, that all of the work necessary for us to have eternal life was done through Christ in his sinless life, death, burial, and resurrection. Let's just look at one other passage of Scripture, and that's in Titus chapter 3. And let's read verse 5, Titus 3, verse 5. Paul says here to Titus that he saved us, Christ saved us, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy and by the washing of regeneration or spiritual rebirth. And so this passage, and of course there are others, John 3:16 makes it very clear about the substitutionary work of Christ on our behalf. John 5:24 says, he who hears my word and believes on him who sent me has right now eternal life and shall not ever come into condemnation, but is already passed from death unto life. Romans 4:4-5 talk about the fact that if salvation were of works, it would be something God owed us as a debt, but rather salvation is a gift of God based on the finished work of Christ. And so numerous passages, as you read through, show that Christ's death on the cross completely paid our sin debt. It did not merely provide the opportunity for us to earn our salvation. Rather, all of the work necessary for our salvation was done through that substitutionary and sufficient death, burial, and resurrection. Well, let's look at the second false teaching of the Watchtower concerning the work of Christ, and that is Christ's physical or bodily resurrection. Here are a few things that the Watchtower says about Christ's resurrection. Let God be true says, quote, this firstborn from the dead. a reference to Christ, was raised from the grave, not a human creature, but a spirit. Charles Taze Russell, in his Studies in the Scriptures, Volume 5, said, "The man Jesus is dead, forever dead." And in "The Truth Shall Make You Free," they said, "The body of Jesus, whether as they claim it was dissolved into gases or preserved as a future memorial, was not what was raised from the dead." The Watchtower very simply teaches that at death, Christ, the man, ceased to exist. The Jehovah's Witnesses say there is no difference between the body and the soul, that they go together and they're inseparable. And so at death, the body and the soul die or go into a state of soul sleep. So at death, Jesus the man ceased to exist. 3 days later, they claim, Jehovah, they might say resurrected, but they really mean recreated. 3 days later, Jehovah recreated the life force of Jesus as Michael the Archangel once again, and that he is an exalted Michael the Archangel. And so Jesus was not raised as a body, or Jesus was not raised physically. Rather, Jesus was raised as a spiritual being. Now, that's important in Watchtower theology because Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus returned invisibly in 1914 and that he is in the process invisibly of setting up Jehovah's theocratic kingdom on earth, moving toward the day of Armageddon when the forces of Jehovah God will battle against creatures on earth, and almost everyone on earth except faithful Jehovah's Witnesses will be wiped out. And so to deny the physical death of Jesus is important in Jehovah's Witness theology because without the physical resurrection of Christ, they can say he returned as a spirit creature invisibly in 1914. So the physical death, the physical resurrection of Christ, rather, is denied in Watchtower thinking. Now, let's look at a few passages of Scripture that make it very clear that Jesus did, in fact, rise physically from the dead. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12, and let's read verses 38 through 40. You hear Jesus makes it very clear when the Jewish leaders were looking for a sign that he was Messiah. He said, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And then in Matthew 28, starting with verse 5, this is after the resurrection of Christ, it says, "But the angel told the women who had come to the tomb, 'Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been resurrected,'" not recreated, "'just as he said, come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. In fact, he is going ahead of you in Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you.' So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, 'Good morning.' They came up, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus told them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there.'" Now, in John chapter 2, verses 19 through 21, Jesus said, "Tear down this sanctuary, tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." And John goes on to explain, they thought he first was talking about the temple in Jerusalem, which still wasn't completed quite at that time. And he goes on to explain, no, Jesus was talking about the resurrection of his physical body. And so these are just a couple of examples, and there are many more throughout the New Testament that tell us about the physical death, the physical burial, and the physical resurrection of Christ. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses explain away Jesus' appearances to his disciples after his resurrection, where Jesus ate and Jesus drank and Jesus said, "Touch me and handle me. Put your hand here in my side." touch my hands and see, I still have the wounds of my crucifixion. What Jehovah's Witnesses say to explain those passages of Scripture is that Jesus caused himself to appear to have a body of flesh and bones, but that he didn't really have a body of flesh and bones. Now, that is just a theology that's hatched out of thin air. It has no biblical basis whatsoever, because Jesus, as we read, said, I am going to die physically, and in this same body in which I died, I am going to be raised from the dead. Jesus said, I'll raise up my own body. The Scriptures also said the Father would raise up his body. And the Scriptures say, by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus would be physically resurrected. So we have the work of the Trinity together in agreement in the physical resurrection of Christ. So the watchtower denial of the bodily resurrection of Christ is a theology that is not based on Scripture. Scripture has been altered to disprove the physical resurrection of Christ, and the spiritual recreation of Jesus is a watchtower teaching that is important because they cannot say Christ returned physically and invisibly in 1914 if, in fact, he rose physically from the dead. Charles Taze Russell, as a young man, attached himself to the Seventh-day Adventists. He could not understand the concept of the Trinity, and so he denied it, and he could not stomach the concept of an eternal hell where people are eternally separated from God. And so he attached himself to Seventh-day Adventists, and at the time there was a tremendous focus on the return of Christ. And so one of the things that the Seventh-day Adventists were doing, some of the leaders at that time said Christ was going to return in 1874. Well, 1874 came and went, and then Charles Taze Russell separated himself from the Adventists and formed his own Bible study, which came to be known as the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. And so he, because Jesus didn't come in 1874, he changed the date to 1914. And when 1914 came and World War I started, he really thought he was on to something, that this is Armageddon and it's begun. But by his death in 1916, it was clear that World War I was not Armageddon and Jesus, in fact, had not come. And so they backtracked basically and said, well, he did come, but he came invisibly in 1914. And then they established 1975, I believe it was, as the date that Armageddon would come. Armageddon didn't come in 1975. And so today the Watchtower leadership says, well, the signs of Armageddon will be clear to that generation that witnesses Armageddon, which is actually an orthodox view. Yeah, the generation that sees the return of Christ will see those signs more clearly. So anyway, it kind of hatched from that change of dates, 1874, then 1914, and then I think they went to 1923 or 1925, then 1975, and then that was the last time, I believe, that dates were established for Armageddon. All right, last one. We just have a couple minutes, but let's look at Christ's physical and visible return. Now, we just said Jehovah's Witnesses deny the physical resurrection of Christ, and so they also deny his return one day. In Let God Be True, the Watchtower says, quote, Christ Jesus returns not as a human, but as a glorious spirit person. Also in Let God Be True, quote, some wrongfully expect a literal fulfillment of the symbolic statements of the Bible. Such hope to see the glorified Jesus coming seated on a white cloud where every human eye will see him. Since no earthly men have ever seen the Father, neither will they see the glorified Son. So those are a few examples of the Watchtower teaching about the return of Christ. They believe and teach he came back invisibly in 1914 and is establishing his kingdom invisibly on earth, and one day after Armageddon, the millennial kingdom will begin, and then after that, there will be paradise earth. Now, let's look at a few verses of Scripture that show clearly that we are to expect the physical and visible return of Christ one day. Let's go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, starting with verse 29. This is Jesus, and he's saying, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the celestial powers will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the peoples of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory." Most certainly, Jesus said, you will see me when I return. I will not come back invisibly. I will come back physically and visibly. And then let's go to John 14. John 14, starting with verse 1. Jesus said, "Your heart must not be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also." Now, it's interesting. Jesus said, "I'm going back to the Father to prepare a place, a physical place." And he said, if I do that, he said, I will come back and take you to that place I have prepared for you. And so Jesus said, I'm coming back physically, I'm coming back visibly, and everybody who believes in me, not 144,000 only, are going to be taken to that place in heaven. Heaven is not a state of mind. It is a place where Christ currently in his resurrected body resides at the right hand of the Father, and there he's preparing dwelling places for us one day. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1, verse 11. This is after the resurrection of Christ, and now he's ascended physically and visibly into heaven. The disciples saw him after handling him physically, eating with him, drinking with him, being with them for 40 days. He ascends physically into heaven out of their sight. And verse 11, it says, they said, that's the angels, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into heaven? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come in the same way that you have seen him going into heaven." The disciples saw him ascend physically and visibly into heaven, and the angel said, he's coming back exactly the same way and exactly the same Jesus. The Jesus who rose physically from the dead, who ascended physically into heaven, is coming back physically and visibly one day. I'll also refer you, we don't have time to read it, to Titus chapter 2:13. Which says that we look forward to the coming of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The New World Translation separates those out. We're looking forward to the coming of Jehovah, and we're looking forward to our Savior. But that's not what Paul says. We're looking forward to the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The deity of Christ and his personal and physical return are affirmed there. And then Revelation 19:11-16 shows Christ returning physically and visibly and bringing his believers back with him as he comes to earth in the battle of Armageddon to establish his kingdom on earth. So, quick summary of today is that the Watchtower teaches three false views about the work of Christ. First, they teach that Christ's atonement was on a torture stake to exonerate the name of Jehovah and to buy back the right of mankind to live on paradise earth. The Bible says, no, Christ's death on the cross was full payment of our sin debt, so that salvation is by grace alone through faith in him. Secondly, the Watchtower says Christ rose as a spirit creature. He was recreated as Michael the Archangel. The Bible says, Jesus said, and other scripture passages affirm, that Jesus rose physically from the dead and ascended into physically into heaven. Third, the Watchtower says Christ came back invisibly in 1914 as a spirit being, and the Battle of Armageddon awaits. The Bible says, no, Christ is coming back physically and visibly one day, and Jesus said, every eye will see him when he returns physically and invisibly. So the teaching of the Watchtower concerning the work of Christ is false. The Bible teaches, in fact, that Christ's death on the cross paid our sin debt in full, that he rose physically from the dead, conquering sin, conquering death, and that he's returning physically and visibly one day in power and great glory.